to Removing the Cape, the place where perfectionists remove our superhero capes and discuss what it's like to wear our various titles, hats, and masks. We can pick them up at the end of the show, but for now, let's all relax. Time to get into the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I am your host, Ty. I am giving a disclaimer now at the top of the show that this is probably going to be probably the most controversial show I've done so far. You see the title and you should expect a little craziness today, but it's true though. I'm mixed with a little bit of ratchet and a little bit of responsible. Or probably a little bit more than a little bit of responsible, but a mix. I have both. And we're going to get into both sides today. First up, we're going to get a little ratchet. If you don't want to hear this part, you can skip to the responsible segment. I will try to put the chapter marker so you can just fast forward. But I want to talk about reality TV. I know that's taboo. I know it's anti-intellectual to say that you watch any kind of reality TV. But I'm not going to live that lie today. I confess, I watch reality TV. Now, I'm not a fan of certain shows that are full of drama and nonstop fighting. Like, I no longer watch, like, Basketball Wives, Love & Hip Hop, and a few other shows because they became too much for me. But that doesn't mean that I stopped watching everything. Oh, no. I watch Real Housewives of Everywhere. Shout out to Monique Samuel. She's my favorite on Potomac. They're currently airing. I think Candy is probably my favorite on Atlanta. Big Brother, been a fan since the beginning. I started watching that when I was a little kid. My aunt used to watch it all the time, and it would come on in the summers, and that was when, you know, we would hang out. I would go visit her sometimes in the summers, and I started watching Big Brother. Love that show. Married to Medicine. I love Married to Medicine. That is definitely my show. I love seeing the dynamics of both their professional lives and their personal lives, with them being doctors, or either, you know, their husbands are doctors. Or their spouses, because, you know, I just love seeing that duality of them. So I love Married to Medicine and 90 Day Fiancé. Listen, now I can hear some of you now saying, which version of 90 Day, Ty? All of them. Before the 90 Days, Happily Ever After, The Other Way, and even The Family Chantel. So speaking of 90 Day Fiancé, spinoffs. I don't know if I'm going to watch Stacey and Darcy. I feel like I have to give it at least 10 to 15 minutes because of 90 Days Solidarity, but they're not really my favorites. So I'm low-key mad that they're getting a show, but the marketing side of me understands it and feels like it's perfect. And if I had been an exec, I probably would have given them a show as well, because they're dramatic. They're extra. But I don't want to see. I don't know. They're a little too much on my spectrum of ratchet, okay? I like a little ratchet seasoning. I don't like, you know, a full ratchet meal. I just like kind of sprinkled on the top a little bit, okay? So today, I just want to end the ratchet segment. I want to just kind of do a little something fun, something different, something a little light today. And I want to kind of talk for a second about just some reality shows that are kind of that are airing right now, and just do kind of a mini review on them and talk about some of the couples that are on there. I want to start with 90 Day Fiancé, because that one is my favorite. So, well, one of my favorites. So 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way. So there's a couple on that show, Brittany and Yazan. For those that don't watch, this is a show where Americans who are in relationship with people from other countries relocate to live with their significant other. So that's why this one is called 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way. Brittany is a 26-year-old woman from Palm Beach, Florida, and Yazan is a 24-year-old man from Amman, Jordan. Now, Britney is very outgoing. She's an aspiring rapper and a social media influencer. She takes pride in how she looks and shows it off online. Now, the reason why I mention that is because her fiance, Yazan, is a traditional Muslim. See where that might have an issue? Because Britney loves to, you know, show off and be an IG girl, which I'm not here to judge, but that's an issue for her relationship. So Britney has previously visited Jordan, so she's someone familiar with the country and their traditional customs. Where Britney messes up is she has this idea that she can live in Jordan, marry Yazan, and not have to follow traditional Muslim or Jordanian rules. She and Yazan have several discussions regarding her behavior online, how she dresses, and even her converting to the Muslim faith. She respects his religion. I'll definitely give her that. She respects it by making sure she wears a hijab in certain places, and especially when they go visit her parents. But she isn't convinced about whether or not she wants to convert yet. They get into the heated discussion in one of the episodes this season where he is telling her that she is wrong for doing something that goes against the Muslim faith. But it isn't something that is considered wrong or illegal in Florida where Britney is from. This is where I think Britney is a little naive. Ideally, she would like to live in Jordan with Yazan, but behave as if she's in Florida. I agree that two people can have differing views on a situation, and there's not necessarily a right or wrong side. Now, just for clarity, I don't agree with any religion, culture, t-ball club, or anything else that treats women as lesser humans. Like Britney, I would not be willing to follow those practices and cultural norms. However, I know that doing that in Jordan will also not be the best or smartest move. Perhaps they should have considered moving to America where they could be together, but still practice their separate religions. Sidebar. Religion was a huge deal for me when I was single and dating. I know it's not the same for everyone, but I had to know in the early stages if you were a Christian like I am. And I understand that that's not a deal breaker for everyone, but it really was for me. And I think that sometimes, you know, people don't think about these types of things or think we can figure it out later. And if it is a deal breaker for you, be honest with that. Or if it's not, then, you know, be understanding later on when you and your significant other share those differences and remember that you said it wasn't a deal breaker, not that you're going to try to change them now. So back to Britney and Yazan, it's going to be interesting to see how they grow. Their differing views on lifestyle choices, it's going to be kind of challenging for them to navigate it, especially with both of them so firmly set on the opposite sides. You know, Britney's there without any family and Yazan has his family. And of course, they reinforce and support their ideologies. And Britney often feels alone and alienated, which I feel like this is something she kind of had to know going into the situation that, you know, you can't expect to move to this country with this man who's honest with you about his religion and, or at least do some independent research. You knew he was Muslim. You knew he lived in Jordan. You visited there a couple of times before. At least do some research before you completely move over there. But it's going to be interesting to watch them. I'm very intrigued by that dynamic because they're very up and down. Like when they're not fighting and arguing, they seem cool. But then, you know, when they have these cultural clashes, it's interesting to watch because both of them are rooted in this is my belief. So that they're a very interesting couple that I can't wait to continue to watch. Now, the next couple I would like to talk about are currently on 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. They are none other than the completely irritating Michael and Angela. Now, these two have been on every version of 90 Day Fiancé. They were on before the 90 days for two seasons. They did one season of 90 Day Fiancé, and now they're on a season of Happily Ever After. And you don't even have to be a fan of 90 Day Fiancé to probably have seen them somewhere on social media, maybe in a meme or a video clip or something. These two are a mess. Okay? They're a total mess. So, Angela is a 54-year-old woman from Georgia. And Michael is, I think it's Hazelhurst, Georgia, which I'm from the South, and I'm not even sure where Hazelhurst, Georgia is. Michael is a 32-year-old man from Nigeria. Now, you see where we have a huge age gap here? In addition to the age gap, we have another cultural clash. Michael is a man who believes in following his cultural norms. However, Angela wants no part in that. The difference with this couple is that their goal is to have Michael live in the States with Angela, but he's had some visa issues. Their first application was denied. So just to backtrack a bit, the name of this show derives from the K-1 fiancé visa. One of the rules of that visa is that the couple must be legally married within 90 days of the person entering the United States, or they must leave. So you establish your relationship before, you know, they move to America. You apply for your visa, submit all your supporting documentation. They approve or deny your application. And then once they approve it, and then the person arrives to America, the clock starts ticking and you have 90 days to get legally married. So that's where the name 90 Day Fiancé comes from. When I first heard about the show, I really thought it was just like people meet and they randomly meet and then they get married in 90 days. So I totally had no idea what it was about when I first heard the name, but that's really what it's about. It's more of an immigration type thing where, you know, people from two different countries fall in love and then they, you know, move to each other's. Well, it started out those that are moving to America. So that's the basis of the show. And that is the visa that Michael and Angela applied for, but they were initially denied. So they decided to get married in Kenya and then try to file again because they thought if they did a Kenyan ceremony, that would show U.S. immigration that they're serious about their relationship and about each other. I don't believe they told them the reason for their denial, but if I had to guess, and based on their conversations, I think that, you know, there were some concerns with the age gap and maybe some things in their application just didn't seem sincere. So, you know, they thought if they had a Kenyan ceremony, they could try again. So, you know, if you're not familiar with the show, you're probably wondering why I called them irritating. It's because this is a couple that constantly argue. Now, all of the couples on this show don't. But this one, they do. And I seriously think it's because Angela is one of those people who's fueled by negativity. It makes her excited. She gets energized and elated. Like, it keeps her going. She's also quite emasculating and often disrespects his culture just because she doesn't like it or is different from what she's used to. For example, on one of the recent episodes, they went to the market to get some groceries, and this is when she was in Nigeria visiting him, and they went to the market to get some groceries, so she was supposed to cook for his family coming over, but she told him, "I'm not cooking, you're gonna cook because this is how it's gonna happen in America." Yeah, very, very interesting. Not that it can't be both of us or we'll do it together or, whatever, but she already knows what the cultural expectation is of her, that she is to cook for the family when they come over, and she refuses to do it. But Michael wants her to do it. He wants her to follow the cultural custom, but unfortunately, Michael isn't bold enough to tell her that that's what he wants. He just allows himself to be pushed around by Angela. So he would say it, but then, she'll fuss at him or yell at him, and then he'll give in. So anyway, they're in the market getting groceries, and they stopped at one of the vendors to get rice. And in many countries, not just Nigeria or somewhere in Africa, in many countries, when you go to an open air market, and even some places here in America, if you go to an open air market, rice is not pre-bagged. It's often in buckets or bins, and the vendor will cup it for you as you order your amount and then put that in a bag. She was upset that it was not pre-bagged, and then asked for the vendor for a bagged rice. It was just so many things that as they're in the market, she's saying, "Oh, that's not how we do that. We don't do that in America. Why is this? Why is that?" And that is one thing that irritates me about how sometimes Americans can be. And all of them don't do it on this show. Some of them do, but I know that some people do it just in real life. You visit another country and you spend so much time talking about what America does do and America doesn't do, and just behaving as if you're in the worst place ever. That is rude. That is so rude. So, of course, she offended the vendors. So then, when they leave the rice, the grains area, they went over to the meat section. This dramatic lady is loud and yelling about how the meat is out, and she faked getting sick and started gagging and literally takes off running from the market. She faked like she threw up, which I don't think she did. I think she just gagged and spit out her water that she had just put in her mouth. It was so dramatic and extra. I was like, ma'am, you're too old to act like this. You're way too old to act like this. So, and the icing on the cake, I told you guys their ages earlier. I'm gonna repeat them in case you forgot. Angela's 54, Michael's 32. And again, Michael is a very traditional Nigerian man. One of his cultural expectations is to have a child. Angela says she's gonna have a child naturally. So for a while, she was like, "Oh, I have one egg. I have one egg." And then she went to the doctor and realized that she didn't have any. But she is a heavy smoker, a heavy chain smoker, and really thinks she's going to be able to get pregnant naturally. Well, Michael's family told her, "Well, it's okay if you aren't able to get pregnant. He can find someone here and have a baby with her, and it's fine, it's fine, but he has to have a baby." Angela doesn't like that. No, like that's not gonna happen. He's not having a baby with someone else. Ma'am, you must understand cultural differences. This man is expected to have a child, and it's not just his expectations from his family. He wants to have a child because that's something he mentioned in this week's episode. Because Angela was saying, "Oh, it's sad the way family puts these expectations on him, and it shouldn't be that way. And, they should really just let him live his own life." And he said it. He didn't say it to her. He said it in his confessional, and I hope he says it to her. He said to her, well, he said in his confessional, "It's not just that my family expects me to have a child. I want kids of my own." And that's important to him. And I understand now. I wouldn't be okay with my husband having kids with someone else, you know, like, oh yeah, just go have kids with her. That wouldn't be okay with me. But that's not our cultural norm. That is his cultural norm. Now, I said earlier about what I may personally think, believe, or be okay with. That's separate from deciding to get into a relationship with someone that you know in the beginning what their cultural norms are and what they live in and what they see as a regular day. You have to understand that. And I think that Angela is probably one of the most unrealistic and unreasonable people on these shows. But I do have some favorites on here that are pretty normal, pretty drama-free. Lauren and Alexi, they really recently had a baby. They are so cute to me. I love them. They are often on Pillow Talk. I don't really watch Pillow Talk much, but I'll see like little clips of it here and there. Danny and Amy, I think they're on season 2 of 90 Day Fiance. They were extremely normal couple. And then one that I've really grown to really like is Paula and Russ. Like they've been through a lot of ups and downs, but they seem like two genuine people who really love each other and are trying to do the work. Both have sacrificed things for each other, and they have a really cute little baby. I haven't looked them up recently on social media, so I hope I don't look them up after this episode and see that they're not together anymore, because that would make me sad. But yeah, and one thing that I did find out about 90 Day Fiance, which I thought was pretty cool, when I looked it up. And this is an article that I believe was written in 2019. So as of 2019, the show had only had three divorces, which was surprising to me. And I think it might have had like another one last year. So I'll give them, let's just say, five divorces. That's kind of amazing for the number of, you know, marriages they've had on there, that you would think that a lot of these couples are still together. Like, that's crazy. But you know, it's not just a show that is just about drama. It's very interesting to me to watch the different cultural dynamics, because there are some couples on the show that really make it work. They find a great middle ground. And I think that's the majority of the couples on the show. It's really great to see how they blend their lives together, being so different. And especially when, you know, time isn't on their side, you know, the person who is not American has less than 90 days from the time that they arrive in the country to get married to this person that, yes, they, you know, have a relationship with, because they've seen each other however many times or have spent time together. But to then now be married and be in a whole new country, it's always a new experience. So I really like watching them blend their lives together. It's a very interesting show. So, you know, I encourage you to check it out. It's funny, it's hilarious. It usually comes on either Sundays or Monday nights on TLC. So check it out. For our responsible segment, I want to talk about voting. Being an active and educated voter is one of the most responsible things we can do as a people. So I will start with the first step. If you are not registered to vote, please do so. I know we have listeners from all across the US and several states. I think the state count last time I looked was close to 30, and I'm so grateful. And even some international listeners, but please, fellow Americans, go to vote.gov and find out how to get registered in your individual state. I know each state is different as far as the process goes, so please find out, if you're not registered, the process for your state. And there are several websites, several ways. So you can even Google how to get registered in California, in North Carolina, in Louisiana, in New York. I feel like I'm shouting out all the listeners now. Of course, the home team, Florida. So please, 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 please find out how to get registered into your state. I don't have a preference of how you get registered as far as which website you go to first. It doesn't matter. Just find one and get registered to vote. After you register, secondly, please take some time and figure out who you want to vote for in all elections and positions, not just the presidential election. I know that's the one that gets all the attention and the one that gets all the fanfare, especially this week. It's been big talk with the with Joe Biden selecting Kamala Harris as his vice presidential pick. And, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about today. I just want to tell you just to get registered to vote and figure out who you want to vote for, because as much as the president is important, your mayor is important, your governor is important, your council member is important, the people on your school board, those people are important. Your sheriff is important. So make sure that you are finding out who these people are. Your judges are important. So we want to, and I know the presidency people talk about, oh, you know, the Supreme Court. Yes, that is important. But your governor appoints judges that will impact you before the Supreme Court does, that will impact your neighbor, your cousin, before the Supreme Court does. So please, please make sure that you are voting in all elections. And when the sample ballot comes to your house, this is just a life hack, pro tip, whatever you want to call it. This is just what I do every single election. Of course, you know, studying and researching before election time comes, but when the sample ballot comes to your home, for those that get it, because I can't assume it's the same in all states, but when you receive a sample ballot, please make sure that you don't just throw it away. Take that sample ballot. Look at every single person that is on there, every amendment that is on there. That is your time to use it as your cheat sheet, your study guide. Write all over it, make notes, do whatever you can to prepare yourself as an educated voter. So when you get to the voting booth, you're not just Christmas treeing. You're not just saying, oh, I know who I want to vote for mayor, and then I'll just guess on everything else. Because then when it comes to the school board and then they make a decision that you don't align with, and then you figure out, wow, how these people get on this school board that I don't even agree with, or sometimes people just skip over certain positions. And I understand that it's intimidating. Sadly, I feel like that's the whole point of it all. It's meant to be intimidating and overwhelming, so that way you don't participate in it. But don't give them that power. We have the power as the people. And I'm not here to tell you who to vote for or who not to vote for. Frankly, yes, I have my preferences and who I do and don't want to vote for. But I'm not going to tell you who you should and shouldn't vote for. Only thing I ask you is to genuinely educate yourself. And I don't mean entertaining conspiracy theories and utilizing unreasonable resources. Understand that anybody can create a YouTube channel. Anybody can create a documentary. Anybody can create a website. Those things are all so easy to do. But please find valid resources. There are so many out there. Please research these candidates, research these amendments, research the judges, research before you vote, and use that sample ballot to your benefit. And even if you can't, if there's someone in your area and they're not particularly in your district that you want to support, but you can't vote for them because you're not one of their constituents, send them $5, $10, whatever you can to support them, or share their campaign video, whatever it may be. But make sure that you're being responsible. And we do more than post on social media. We do more than talking about it amongst our friends. But we actually vote. So let's be responsible. And the reason I wanted to talk about this today is because right now early voting is going on in Florida. And election day in Florida is August 18th. Please vote. Please, please vote. You can find out what the voting date is in your state, also at vote.gov or several other websites. But please make sure that you vote. Presidential election is not the only time that we vote, because we'll have another big election in 2 years, midterms, not just four. So make sure that every time you have the opportunity, your voice is being heard, and hold these people accountable. They work for us, not the other way around. Today's inspirational person is someone who had what some people would call a few ratchet moments in his youth, but grew to be a very responsible person. None other than President Barack Obama. He has previously shared in both his memoirs and various interviews that he smoked weed in his youth. Now, many try to criticize him for that, and I wasn't going to be one of those people, because President Obama, so have I, okay? But that wasn't the end of his story. Those moments didn't define him. He went on to not only become a leader at Harvard Law School, a leader in the city of Chicago, but a leader in the entire world as he served as the 44th president of the United States. He was responsible. He was a leader. I felt it was only right to have him as our inspirational person of the week because we're talking about voting. Whoever your candidate of choice may be, I know mine isn't Donald Trump. It's my show, I can say that. But whoever your candidate of choice may be, don't just get online and express your frustrations. Don't just talk about them amongst friends and family. As President Obama stated, don't boo, vote. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show, and tune in again next week. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Share with a friend or family member, and follow us on social media at Removing the Cape. Check out our website at www.removingthecape.com. Whatever superhero cape you have to pick up and wear today, I hope it's a bit lighter and your smile's a little brighter. See you next week.